Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today I'm going to talk about how we really get into this idea of training ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God and really follow His leading in our lives. A lot of this is kind of building off what we've just talked about faith, about how to get into a deeper level of faith and really get into faith as something that really changes our lives, mainly because when we do that, we kind of move past the whole getting into the realization of who we are in Christ Jesus, really getting past the whole understanding our redemptive place in the gospel message and stuff, and really get into this leading of the Holy Spirit that's necessary for us to really get deeper into everything about God. As I've kind of said previously, the point of the Pentecost speaking in other tongues is not so that everybody has a charismata or gift of the Holy Spirit where they're speaking in other tongues. It doesn't mean that necessarily you're not going to, but it's not the emphasis that you speak in other tongues, as many Protestants and others have basically gone off and said. The main thing is that you are led by the Spirit of God, that you're not motivated or doing things based upon your impulses. You're doing it based upon more spiritual principles, I guess is probably a clearer way of saying it. Because a lot of people, they assume that because they have natural cravings one way or another, they're born a certain way or however they want to describe it, that they have a natural, it should be okay for them to do something. You hear this mostly in cases where people are talking about their sexual identities or how they relate sexually to one another, that they have a certain appetite for a sexual thing, and they should be accepted based upon it and shouldn't be judged whether it's a homosexual lifestyle, a transsexual lifestyle, or anything along those lines, because they're going along by their natural impulses. Kind of a similar way of kind of thinking about this is there are some people who are naturally inclined to certain sins or certain inclinations towards certain things like gluttony or alcoholism, that because they have a certain weakness, they can justify their weakness in the same way. You can even go so far as to say that certain people with certain sins of, say, pedophilia might be able to use the same argument and say, well, I was born this way, as a way of justifying. I mean, you, me, and I all should know that certain sins like pedophilia is definitely wrong, murder is definitely wrong, and so on and so forth. And because of that, you just can't have a natural inclination towards it. So there is a necessity of being a disciple and learning and training and really getting into the things of God in a way that you are trained to walk more spiritually, to walk according to the Spirit, not according to your natural nature. And there's kind of four things that become the pillars of how you do this and really get into it. And one of them is specifically knowing that you need to meditate upon the things of God, the Word of God, and really get into what God has to say. Some of that is contemplating God in the Blessed Sacrament, using perpetual adoration and just going to Mass a little early and putting yourself in the presence of God, who's present in the Eucharist, that's present in the tabernacle at church, and really getting into this idea of who you are in Christ and really getting this in that way. The second way is actually doing what the Word of God has to say. If it tells you that you shouldn't have profane language, you should stop trying to cuss and stop trying to excuse it. If it tells you to really realize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and to try not to give yourself over to sexual sins, whether it be pornography or adultery or whatever, fornication, not to do that. If it's about not being angry or letting the sun go down upon your wrath, or using that scripture from Ephesians, it means trying to get at peace with everybody that you're with, not flicking them off on the highway or stuff like that when they cut you off. Really getting into a practice of the Word of God, so you become more Christian in your actions. Another is just basically considering the revelation that God has as the most important revelation, the most important thing that you put your firm belief on. You don't question the idea of the communion of saints, Mary and the saints, and how they relate in intercession. You don't question the transubstantiation. You basically let God be God and be still because he is God. So that's kind of a main thing there. And another thing is just, you know, when you get kind of a leading of the Holy Spirit, and for each one of us, it's a little different. It's kind of that in some ways it's a conscience, some ways it's not. But instantaneously obeying these leadings of the Holy Spirit. This is kind of what the fullness of, if you really look at the Pentecostal message, because they spoke as they were given the utterance by the Holy Spirit. There are certain things that you get a premonition, utterance, I can't really think of a better word than that to kind of explain it, where God does lead you. He does give you some kind of answer that tells you what you ought to do, and you kind of, as you really get into knowing the Word of God, you can apply this instantly. This is something that is really a main focus of the examine prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola, and that's something that if you really study into that, you'll get into understanding how God touches your life throughout your everyday lives. So as we go forward, we need to understand that God does communicate with us in a very spiritual sense, not necessarily as an intellectual exercise, but he does give us kind of these inner groanings and yearnings and desires that if we really follow them through, we can find that we'll be obeying the Holy Spirit in a way that we can truly be led by him. And kind of the scripture that I'd like to kind of put this on is in Proverbs 20, verse 27, where it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Basically, this is kind of, in a very simple way, letting us know that if we let ourselves spiritually be led by God, we're kind of like a candle that God can move around to see light, because it's like in the old days before they had flashlights, they used candles to kind of walk around in the dark so they wouldn't bump and stub their toes. So, you know, think of this, think of your inward self as being like that flashlight that guides you through a dark place, or a headlight that you're driving with. And this is really where the benefits come in. So kind of backtracking, the rule number one for being led by the Spirit of God is really knowing the Word of God. This is kind of the main point of Joshua 1 verse 8, where it says that the book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Basically, this is letting you know that the more you know of God's word and really get that into you, the more you're going to live it out. And it's the same way when you're talking about prayers. Because when we're thinking about praying, and especially like the prayers of the rosary where you're repeating a Hail Mary or an Our Father, you're continually meditating upon those prayers. You're getting contemplation on them. And it gives you a chance to really get into the deeper things of that particular situation. And this goes for all meditations. I mean, there's a in the old, trying to think of the technical term, where you're meditating upon the scriptures. It's hold on a second. Let me look this up real quick. Okay, I had to stop and restart just so that I could remember this out loud. The Lectio Divina way of praying and staying immersed in the revelatory text to the point that you really get it into your mind. A lot of this is kind of an old thing that monks used to do back in the early part of the Christian era, when there was persecutions, and they would go out to the deserts to be alone so that they would both be safe from Roman persecution. And also in later days, after the Edict of Milan with Constantine and Christianity being considered a legitimate religion, where they would go off, pray all by themselves, and really get into the text. I mean, one of the best books about it that we got was Lectio Matters by Mary Margaret Funk. This was a book that during the opening part of my going into seminary that we kind of went over to really understand how to do Lectio Divina as a way of really meditating. And she uses the book of Jonah as a way of her getting into meditation and understanding the things of exactly what that book is all about and really getting into some deep parts about it. And it's really just letting you know that if you meditate on what God has to say, and this even goes with meditating on the catechism or any other official document of the church where it's giving you a proclamation of something like the Vatican II stuff, that if you really get it into you, you'll really understand the faith and you'll really become more abundant about it. Because it's that one scripture where they talk about prosperity. God wants you to be prosperous and in good health, even as your soul prospers. The idea of prosperity is it begins spiritually. It begins with your relationship with God and begins with how you get into one another. And this is really where you get into it, where you got to get into a deep meditation about the Word of God and really develop your spiritual wisdom about the things of God by really delving into really understanding what's going on, because you'll be able to see things that maybe you didn't see before and can really benefit from, like whether it's prayer, whether it's what God has to say about truth or creation, where you really just sit down and you really start seeing a little bit better. In fact, there's a lot of stuff in different Protestant denominations where they really start meditating upon the Word of God, and they get specific facets of revelation. One of the unbalanced parts of this is a lot of people stick to just the Word of God alone. They don't really check it out with, like, knowing the early church fathers, what they had to say, or really what the church itself as a whole tells us about it, because the church is the security of what the faith is, so that we know what we're passing on and receiving back. So these are the things that really helps out as we move forward. We don't need to go listen to a Matthew Kelly, a Scott Hahn, or even me to understand how to really get into the Word of God. A lot of times it's just setting aside a certain time daily for meditating and really getting into a lectio moment. I would recommend that if anybody really does do it, they at least give like a half hour to it, because that could be a real good half hour to lead you into another half hour of really deep prayer. And this can kind of get you into really what would be the third place, if you will, the third rule that would go with it, about giving God's word and its revelation kind of the first place in your life, to where you can, you know, begin to shut the world out and take a couple minutes for daily meditation to really develop yourself spiritually. Because as we get into this a little bit more, we can start practicing what Proverbs 4 verses 20 through 22 tell us, which is, "My son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto you who find them, and health to all your flesh." Now, there's so many voices in our world surrounding us, and it's difficult to stop and actually listen to the Word of God. And this kind of helps you with that first part of being able to really get alone and really meditate upon it and such like that. But there are times when we can really get quiet. A lot of times family and friends can give us opinions and advice that are wrong, but we really need to get alone with the Lord. And for that, the church kind of offers to us moments of benediction before the Blessed Sacrament, and even retreats where we can just spend a couple days or a weekend and just get alone with God and really get into this deeper moment of prayer. It's really an essential part to really training yourself to actually understand what God has to say for you in your life, and it allows you to really put the Word of God as a primary place and really put something of an emphasis of importance to your way of being with God. Because if we really understand what is being told to us in Proverbs 4, 20 and 22, it kind of tells us God in His Word, He wants us to listen to it. He wants us to read it. He wants us to really memorize it. Basically, as verse 20 says, "Incline our ear unto all of His sayings." So anytime the Bible is being read aloud, whether it's in church or in personal devotions or on the radio or television, depending upon how they're being done, it's important for us to really give careful attention to these words. It's also important to us to really consider all the revelation that God has spoken to us, because that's also the Word of God. As we found out from the Vatican's declaration on the Word of God in Verbum Dei, the document from the Vatican II. It's not just a written scriptural word of God that is the word of God. There's also an oral word of God too. And there's various scriptures that kind of bring it out, like in Titus where Paul says, keep with the what we said to you orally and stuff. Also in, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when he talks about the oral tradition versus the written tradition, those that we have said to you orally and those we have written, basically keep those because those are the word of God. And it's just a reminder of what verse 21 of Proverbs 4 tells us, of not letting what God has to say depart from our eyes. Because if we spend time alone reading God's word and really letting it sink down into our hearts and our minds and memorize it, they'll stay in front of us. They'll be kept in the midst of our heart. This is what Mary was doing when she noted Jesus doing certain things. And when you really can get into really putting the word first, you can get into what's known as contemplative prayer. This is something that many people, when they're praying the rosary and are doing the mysteries, they can see the mysteries in their mind and really see how it works out and participate with them and really gets into really getting into the deeper waters of them. Because if we'll do these three things of listening, reading and memorizing and really getting to know the Word of God and His full revelation and what He's taught to us and handed on to us through the tradition of the church, we'll get to what Proverbs 4:22 tells us, that the Word of God, that this revelation in both oral tradition and in the written tradition of Scripture will be health unto all of our flesh, so that we can enter into the abundant life of Jesus Christ and really find the kind of healing for our bodies that we need, and we can do all that we can to give God's word first place in our lives. And this leads us to the second rule, or the probably the third rule at this point, of really practicing God's word. As James 1:22 tells us, we shouldn't be hearers of the word only, we should be doers as well, because it's when we're only hearing the word of the Lord, we're deceiving ourselves. And this, unfortunately, is the place that I personally see a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters digging in and getting bad with when they do the once saved, always saved thing, because they forget to actually practice the Word of God. There is a need for us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling and really do what God asked us to do. Because if we begin to actually fulfill the law, fulfill what the Word actually has to say, I mean, and doing the commandments, not necessarily as a law, but as part of our relationship with God, then we begin to experience the love of God that really begins to bear fruit in our lives, because we no longer treat going to church as a chore. We're actually doing it as an act of love, where we're really experiencing God and his people and really, really getting into this whole experience where we're not struggling with sin. We're actually cooperating with God and really getting into the deeper things. Because as Philippians 4:6 tells us, if we in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving talk to God, make our requests known, as the scripture says, God's going to basically take care of us, because we're not supposed to be anxious. We're not supposed to be worried about stuff. We need to, by definite request, let Him know what we're really looking for, and give thanks to Him continually, because we're really in a relationship with Him. It's not just us trying to finagle Him or something else. Because usually when we practice only part of the what we're supposed to do, and we're not really putting it into motion, this is when we're not really a doer and stuff. Because here, let's slow this down. Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us, and be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be upset. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So, first of all, the Lord tells us not to be fretful. We're not supposed to have anxieties. We're not supposed to be worrying about anything, because this isn't going to do any good for us. So God tells us, be still, know He is God in a simple way, using Psalm 8 to kind of chill us out a little bit here, because God is a just God. He won't ask of us to do something that we can't do. He's not going to ask us to fly, flap our arms and take off, because He knows that we're not birds and we're not going to take off. What He wants us to do is to not steal, not commit adultery, not commit murder, not to covet, not to forget to honor our mothers and fathers or commit murder, go to church and remember the Lord's Day. These are the things we can do so that there are commandments there. And if we really get into them in love, we'll experience them. So when we get into a situation where we start getting anxious, where we start worrying, we need to refuse to let ourselves be anxious. We should really practice the Word of God in this sense and begin to take the request to Him in prayer and really thank Him for it. Because the inner turmoil, as long as it keeps stirring up, is trying to prevent you from really experiencing the deeper things of God. And you're not going to experience really what God is trying to do in your life if you're not really doing this. So follow Paul's advice. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. Just don't worry about it. Let it be where it's supposed to be, because that's when you experience Philippians 4:7, where it talks about the peace of God that's beyond understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Because many people want what the seventh verse is talking about, but they don't practice the sixth verse and really, get into the peace of God that's beyond understanding, because they don't practice being calm. They don't let the peace of God take hold of them. But if you want God's peace to keep your hearts and minds and spirits whole and pure, you need to first not fret. Just go to God in prayer, let Him know what's going on, and give Him thanks, worship Him, praise Him, be all you can be. Keep the prayer request before Him, but don't lose your mind, because it's in His hands. Be still, know that He's God. That's when the peace of God comes into your life. Because you can't reap the results of having peace without first being a doer of the word and not having the anxiety take control of you to begin with. So this is kind of an example of how you can be a doer of the word and grow spiritually. Now, as a result of doing this, you're kind of led into the very last thing, which is basically hearing the Spirit of God in a supernatural sense. It's not necessarily having a voice speak to you like I'm speaking to you right now, but it is in a sense that you know spiritually that you're supposed to do something. It's kind of that knowing, like you know your name. It can be intuition or something like that, or an inner voice of guidance. But this is kind of knowing God's voice, because as the scripture tells us, His sheep know His voice. So if you don't really know His voice, it's because you haven't taken the time to really meditate on the word, really understand the word, give it that primary place that it's supposed to, and really practicing it out and really believing like the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, and really get into it. Because then you can never really have the voice of God speaking to you. You'll never know how the Spirit gets you information and really leads you as it did the apostles, and giving them the utterance that they themselves still had to speak, that they still had to act on and cooperate with. Because God does communicate with you through your Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, and really gives you what you need, because He is basically in you. That's your hope of glory. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Really getting this understanding so that your spirit can get the information from Him and act upon it. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Because a lot of people get into this problem where their conscience can't be a safe guide. They haven't really trained their conscience to really let them know what they need to know about the things of God. So they don't really move out into the word and really do what's supposed to be. And they're listening to the wrong spirit. They don't understand the voice of God, how God speaks to them. But we need to really obey our conscience and really obey what this inner word is telling us, to really truly be led by the Spirit of God. Because this is what Paul in Acts 23 verse 1 was doing. He trained his spirit so that he could listen to the voice of his conscience. He didn't have that seared conscience. It's something that we're as Catholics responsible for making sure we don't have, so that we, like Paul, can follow and obey the voice of our conscience. This is what Proverbs 20 verse 27 is really trying to get us, is to really get us an understanding that God will use our inward man, our spiritual nature, to guide us so that we can be led by the Spirit and be the sons of God, to really walk according to the Spirit and not according to the dictates of our natural human fleshly nature. and really get into it, because the more we meditate upon the Word of God, the more our conscience becomes a safer guide and is trained in the Word of God and can really speak to us about what we need to know. Because there can be this inward, still voice that Elijah heard when he was looking for the voice of God, because he wanted to hear God. God wasn't in the thunder. It wasn't in an earthquake. He wasn't in the storm. It was a still, small voice. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is how the Holy Spirit speaks to many people, as you kind of read through the lives of the saints and others, because they receive a certain guidance through kind of an inward knowing, an inward voice, an inward something. Kind of that echo in your soul, a yearning, a desire, something real deep inside of you just lets you know this is what you need to do. It's that gut check, so to speak, because that's how God will try to speak to us sometimes. And if we truly learn to follow this leading of the Spirit, we will come to a place where we will know what God is trying to say us, because this is what Proverbs 3 verse 6 was saying. If we in everything we do, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths, because this is the full blessing of Proverbs 20 verse 27, that the spirit of man can be the candle or the flashlight or the thing that God uses to guide us and will search us through the inward parts of our own being, kind of getting into our core nature where we can truly worship Him in truth and in spirit and really get the full understanding of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a Catholic and really experience the fullness of what God has for each one of us. So hopefully this gives you something to think about, and you can truly put this into practice into your lives today. And hopefully this blesses you in a way that you can truly become the kind of Christian that He's called you to be. And in all things, I hope that you have a very blessed day.